This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
People are so hungry for love that they substitute all this, and it never works. Because you can't substitute material things for love.
And we welcome you to this edition of Tuesday People, the podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Albom, the author of the book Tuesdays with Maury, celebrating its 25th anniversary this fall with a special 25th anniversary edition of the book that's out there right now. Lisa Goetsch, producer of this program, and my friend, is alongside as well. Lisa, I want to ask you, have you done your Christmas shopping to any degree?
Not in the least bit. You?
You're a late shopper?
I'm a very late bloomer when it comes to Christmas shopping.
You do it like on the 24th at CVS at 5 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah, and then for all my great nieces and nephews and stuff, I do the Amazon route because they're all... They're all scattered all over the place, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just, I go and look for fun things and send them just tons of boxes that come in and their mommy wraps them.
Your mommy, okay. Thanks. You took care of the easy part, sending them. Well, today I want to talk about gift giving and really what is the best gift that you can give at the holiday season. I was looking at a list here on... the best Cyber Monday deals from last week. And it still stays up there because, it there's so many of them, and Cyber Monday, I guess, never ends. And it really is quite incredible how many things there are to buy as gifts.
That is the truth.
Okay. Here are some quick ones. It's worth listening to this. Okay, here's some quick Cyber Monday deals, quick links that you could get. TVs from $79, robot vacuums from $99, all on Amazon. On Best Buy, 4K OLED TVs from $999. Laptops,
$9 or $999?
$999.
Okay. I was like, wow, that's a deal.
Yeah, we're going to stop the podcast and everyone's going to go shopping.
I'm going to go buy 20 of those.
Dell computers up to $700 off plus laptop deals from $299. Dream Cloud, 25% off site-wide and free $599 gift with mattresses.
Wow.
GameStop, up to 60% off video games. iRobot, deals from $124. Microsoft, up to $600 off of laptops. Samsung, 40% off appliances for Black Friday. Sling TV, 50% off your first month. Verizon Pixel 7 Pro or iPhone 14 Pro with trade-in, unlimited. Walmart Chromebooks from $79. 4K TVs from $218. Now, I look at all of these. I study all of these. I try to see what I can learn about our culture.
I can tell you right now.
Yeah, from the thing, right? Things that are the hottest items that everybody...
People like watching TV.
Yeah, people like watching TV. There's a definite right there. But there's more to that list. If you think about most of the things on that list, I guess TV falls into this category. Most of those things on that list are supposed to make life better. Supposed to speed things up for you. All those different computers that are the latest with the latest technology in them, and therefore you can process things faster and write an email and game and do everything faster and faster and faster. The phones are the latest ones so that you can get the best processors and they go faster and they go faster and faster. And even the TVs, while they eat up a lot of your time with the entertainment, they have the built-in smart TV system, so you can just basically talk to your television set, save right. yourself time on having to actually change channels, pre-record this, pre-record that. Sling TV, which is one of the ones that I read, that's basically a way that you can tape everything and watch it anywhere whenever you want. So you can, it can be on your, you use your home TV and you can record everything you want wherever you go. You just, it's 11 o'clock at night. You're visiting your in-laws in Pennsylvania and you sneak up to the guest bedroom and you can watch your Game of Thrones show that you missed that previous Sunday because dang it, you were on an airplane having to go visit them. So all of these things are designed to give us faster, more efficient lives and more quality time of our entertainment. But what we end up doing with all this faster, quicker processor, latest model kind of approach is just spending more and more time on those things.
Right.
So, you know, I keep asking, all right, well, if this can process, you know, in a half a second, 100 different websites, and this thing can connect me instantly to pay my bill so I don't have to even write anything out or lick an envelope or put on a stamp. If I can get an app that rapid fire gets everything to me that would have been a bunch of steps, then here's the question. What am I doing with all this saved time? What am I doing with all this saved time? Because theoretically, everything I'm buying is saving me time.
Yeah.
What am I doing with all the saved time? The answer tends to be I'm shopping for more stuff. With the added right. time, I'm looking for more things that I can buy. But with the added time, I'm on the phone longer examining new things that it can do. Hey, I just found out that the phone can scratch my back for me, or I can ask it to give me directions to the fastest flight to Athens or what. So, it's this myth of we are getting all this efficient time from these gadgets that we buy so that somehow our life is going to be better.
Like easier.
Easier, calmer. And what the effect it really has is exactly the opposite. It just speeds things up. So now the new norm is a split second to connect to whenever you want to pay your bill. And if it takes a second longer, we're impatient. The new norm is I want to be able to buy the tickets to this movie online, you know, with a punch and a punch and a punch. And this thing is taking so long now. You know, we used to have to actually drive to the movie theater,
find out
if there were any seats left, wait online behind all the other people. And do you ever remember waiting online? Do you remember the days? They were not so long ago. Remember the days where you would go to a movie theater and you go, oh, look at the line. And,
yeah,
and there'd
you
be
had
a
to
line
wait.
Of people waiting to get tickets. I remember when I lived in New York, when I was a young man, going to a movie was such a process. You had to have a strategic plan because you would go out to eat. You know, let's say you would go out to eat at 6 o'clock. The movie was at 8 o'clock. Well, if you wanted to have dinner and then walk down to the movie, by the time you got there for the 8 o'clock show, you say you got there at 5 to 8, the line would be so long that wouldn't be any seats left and you wouldn't be able to. So what did we do? We ended up splitting up our dinner. So we would go to dinner. Let's say there were four couples or two couples, four people. We would go to dinner at 6, but one of us, after they ordered, would run down to the movie theater at 6:30
and buy the tickets
so that we wouldn't have to wait on the line at
oh,
8.
Oh, man.
But then when we got down there at 8, there'd be this huge line of people for tickets. So there'd also be a big line of people who had done the same thing as us and were waiting to get in to try to get seats. Now, this was a strategy. This required time. This required planning. This required wondering, you know, how early you had to get there because who knows? Someone could be getting there at 5 to get the tickets or before. And you had no idea until you actually went there and waited online and got the tickets and then waited. Now, on your iPhone, you can punch up the theater, punch up the movie, see exactly how many seats are available, punch out those seats and reserve them for yourself, buy the tickets with a punch of your finger, and have them not even, there's no paper involved. It's just your phone and you show up. I half the time we go to the movies now that way. We just walk in. Nobody even asks to see our tickets because they figure, well, if there's a problem, you'll end up coming back out and saying someone's in my seat because look at my phone. They're in my seat and they don't have a phone to show you. So they've eliminated the ticket booth. They've eliminated the line. They've eliminated all this stuff. And I can do this while I'm at the restaurant or whatever. No more planning, no more sending an envoy out ahead, no more of the strategic thing, nothing. So look at all the time that I have saved. So you would think with this time that I now have that when back in my 20s or 30s, I could never do, I would have so much more free time. I would be sitting around reading the great books and enjoying the company of people that I love. But am I anymore? No.
No.
None of us are.
Let me add one more thing, too, about the movie theater. Now you can order your snacks ahead of time. You don't even have to wait in the line.
Well, that's got to be an LA thing. That hasn't come out here yet.
You can buy your snacks like on your phone, and then they're just sort of waiting for you at the front thing, so you don't have to wait in that long line. But, you know, here's the problem with the electronics, because if you notice, all those things that you mentioned that were for sale were mostly electronic items, right?
Right.
You can get them to make your life easier, but when you're doing things like you have like streaming services like Netflix or HBO or whatever it is that you can stream right from your phone, you're spending hours and hours and hours binging TV shows. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't even leave my house on the weekend because I am in the middle of an entire TV series that I now no longer have to wait weeks for it to unfold. It all unfolds in one time.
So much for gaining time with the convenience of technology. So where am I leading with this? So I had a conversation with Maury once about kind of the ultimate ownership gift. Ted Turner, you remember Ted Turner, who at the time owned CNN. He started CNN. He owned that network and he owns many, you know, Turner Sports, all the rest of the things. But he was trying to buy a network. I think it might have been CBS. But he was trying to buy CBS, let's say it was, or some kind of network. And the reason that he gave when they asked him, you know, why do you have to have a network? You're already so rich, one of the richest people in the world. You've got all these other things. He said, I don't want my tombstone to read, I never owned a network. As if he was worried that that was going to be his legacy, that he never owned a TV network. And this caused an interesting conversation between Maury and myself. Here it is.
I keep thinking about this thing I read the other day about Ted Turner. You know, Ted Turner, the billionaire. Whatever, that his quote that he's said many times that because he wants to buy a network. He wants to own a network. I mean, he's all upset now because most of them are being snapped up by somebody else.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, I don't want on my tombstone, he never owned a network, you know. He doesn't want to die before he owns a network, you know.
Yeah.
As if there's something really...
Big goal, right?
Yeah, I mean, really, really critical to do that before you die, you know.
Right.
But that quote has been all over New Time and Newsweek, and you know, and it's repeated as if it's... Nobody says, isn't this ridiculous? They say, you know, Ted Turner, motivated by... Because he doesn't want on his tombstone the man who didn't own a network. I think, you know... It gets legitimized by being repeated over and over again, you know?
Legitimated. Right. See, what we've done, we've got a form of brainwashing going on. And that's what that repetition is about. Commerce is good. Owning things is good. Private property is good. Having lots of money is good.
Good.
More and more money is good. More commercialism is good. More commodification. Everything is made into a commodity, own it, that's all good. And it's all on the material level.
Now, Ted Turner might have been trying to buy a network, but what Maury just said there is true of us during Christmas season.
Yep.
More is good. More money's good. More commercialism's good. Everything is made into a commodity. The more you can own, the better off you're going to be. And it's all, as he says, on the material level.
We'll be back with more Tuesday People right after this.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Now, what is missing when you organize your life that way? Well, here was Maury's response to that.
Who is saying, hey, the most important things in life are not material? Love, friendship, environmental, appreciating nature, having some spiritual connection, being in a community of loving people has nothing to do with commercialism, has nothing to do with ownership, has nothing to do with money. And people are so conditioned and so befogged that they have no perspective on what's important. Then they take religion and they separate it out. There's something special over here on Sunday because you gotta be religious, so to speak. And that is the sad part of it. There is no frame of reference for most people as to how to think otherwise.
Now, what he's saying there has a lot of overtones for the Christmas season. Who's saying the most important things in life are not material? I love how these commercials now, they're very, very clever, especially the Apple commercials, Budweiser commercials, the phone commercials. They have these beautiful, heartwarming scenes of people together at Christmas time. But what are they doing? They're playing a game on their phones together, or they're coming outside or running down the steps and opening, you know, a box, or seeing this wrapped up, this 78-inch television screen. But it has this, you know, the little kid looks so happily at the parent, or the wife looks so lovingly at the husband, and it all makes you feel good, except you realize the gift that they're suggesting is exactly the opposite of what Maury's talking about. It's not about love. It's not about friendship. It's not about appreciating nature. It's not about having a spiritual connection. It's not about being in a community. It's about coming together over stuff.
Yeah.
Coming together over stuff. I got you a, what do they call those things? A virtual reality set. And you have a virtual reality set. So now we can come together. Well, you're not coming together. You're both going to virtual reality. You're putting on glasses to separate yourself from one another. And then you're going to some make-believe cyberspace together where someone's a figure and you're a figure, but it's not really real. All you have to do is take the glasses off to be with one another. But no, let's go into this virtual space together,
which is so crazy, because for the $300 or $500 or whatever you spend on that, you could get a plane ticket to Greece and actually go explore the ruins together.
Right? No. I'll in just real stay at home. Life. I'll just
in
stay
real
at home
life.
And, yeah, do them virtually. So they're very clever. The advertising campaigns are very clever to try, because they know that deep down, we want that feeling of love and togetherness and sharing. We want that, but they don't really want you to have that, because that would mean you were doing something other than buying stuff. So they make commercials that tap into that emotion, but they make it about their product. Only if you buy this product can you enjoy that warm holiday feeling. And then what Maury said at the end, they take religion and separate it out into something special over here on Sunday. Well, that kind of holds for the holiday season too, because if you, in a modest appraisal, the holiday season for most people, meaning when they start thinking about Christmas and doing stuff for Christmas and et cetera, or Hanukkah, is probably about a month. Right? Wouldn't you say? When people start thinking about it, start doing some shopping, start making their plans, and yet the actual religious part, which is what spawned the whole thing, is a day, if that. So think about that. The religious season, the holiday season's a month, but the religious part of it, the spiritual part of it, at most is a day. People go to church on Christmas or Christmas Eve.
Like midnight mass.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. It's really not even a full day. It's 4 or 5 hours. And yet you spend a whole month doing all kinds of things that really aren't about what the holiday's supposed to be about.
Yeah, it's true.
Isn't there some irony to that? And here you see Maury was pointing it out. They've separated the religious part from the actual activities. So you do 30 days worth of shopping and 3.5 hours worth of praying and celebrating the actual holiday, the actual Christmas holiday, and 30 days worth of shopping.
Well, it's
my friend who was in the retail world said that there's an expression in the retail world: if only Jesus had a brother who was born in June.
Oh,
and that's what they used to say, because then they could get that surge again in the summertime like they get at Christmas time.
Yeah. It's funny though, because you tell a kid, you know what? We're not gonna do presents this year. This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna go to church. Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Look at the faces. I just don't think it's gonna be the
Good
same.
Luck.
No offense against church, but
well,
you know, kids.
So where does that leave us? It leaves us in, because you're right, everyone wants a gift at holiday time. So is it possible to give a different kind of gift? Is it possible to, you know, I've seen sometimes where people have given envelopes to one another and they open up the envelope and it says, you know, this is a gift for 3 massages, you know, loving massages from a husband to a wife or whatever, or this is a gift of 3 days I will do the chores while you sit with your feet up, you know, or, you know, 3 times we'll go to that restaurant that you like, even though I can't stand it, or you know, kind of compromises of time or gifts of time, gifts of experience. Think if you can, instead of an electronics, every time you go to buy an electronics in the coming weeks, think of if there's something that you could give that didn't separate you from the people that you love the way the electronics will. The way that you just said, Lisa, give somebody a really nice television set and they'll be binge watching all weekend and you won't see them again.
No, you'll never see them.
Why give somebody a gift? This is why I would never give a child a phone. And I don't. And none of our kids in Haiti have phones or whatever. Why would I want to give children something that would take them away from me and their loved ones? And that's what those phones and those devices and those Game Boys and the consoles and all the rest of that stuff do. Yeah, you can make a kid really happy with a PS10 or whatever the latest one is, a PlayStation, but that'll be the last time you'll see him.
Ever.
Good luck.
Until they're 24.
Yeah. Why give
something?
And then
you might not.
So ask yourself if that gift that you're buying is going to enhance the time that you spend with one another, or detract from the time that you spend with one another. And if it detracts, maybe try to find a different thing. As you said, Lisa, make an experiential. Make it like, here, today, instead of going and buying a bunch of things, I bought us plane tickets for a trip that we're going to go all take together. And that's going to be our Christmas present. And it's going to be an experience that we all have. We're going to make memories with one another. Maybe that's a better use of it. Or, you know, substitute the one iPhone or one new laptop or one new iPod or iPad for 10 evenings of, you know, quiet conversation,
right,
where I promise to pay attention to you, you know, for 2 hours. We're just, this is a husband can give this to a wife. This would be a great gift. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to promise you, here's certificates. Once this is for this week, this is for next week, this is for the third week, this is, you know, on Tuesday nights, I'm going to sit with you for 2 hours and talk about whatever you want to talk about.
I'm going to listen to you. Yeah, oh boy.
I'm going to just listen to you for two hours. Whatever
that would
you have
be a challenge to my husband.
That would be a great gift to you, wouldn't it?
That would be a great gift if he'd ever follow through on them, if he'd actually cash them in.
Well, perhaps he's listening to the podcast and he's just found out what you want for Christmas. There you go.
Here's the deal. For my little nieces, like the kids now, I always get them something that's creative or that involves, I don't know, you know, like art supplies or a musical instrument or something like that, because I feel like creativity is kind of gone by the wayside these days, you know, again, going back to game, you know, playing games and doing things and everything's electronic. So I always get them something like that, you know, and I feel, and they love it. They love those things, but you know, I just want to stoke that other part of their brain.
Right. Well, and then you can spend time with them creating. Making the art. Yeah.
It's
and that's,
super
that's
fun.
That's an experience. There's a perfect example. So to sum it up, here's was Maury's final comment of when we were talking about this Ted Turner thing and how we tend to look at, you know, just getting, including getting a network.
How can I get a bargain? How can I gobble up another piece of property? And it's just, I interpret that as people are so hungry for love that they substitute all this. And it never works. Because you can't substitute material things for love. Or for gentleness, or for tenderness, or for a sense of comradeship, or a sense of embracing another in a genuine way. Can't be bought. They don't know it. So they keep on buying and buying. So I have a network, so what? So I have power. Power becomes a substitute for tenderness. It isn't.
So I'll leave you with that. Think about the things that you're giving, and are they a substitute for tenderness? There's a tender moment where they say, oh, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Aunt Lisa. Thanks. You know, that's the tender moment. But then, as I say, there's nothing beyond that.
If
you never see them again.
If it even lasts that long, have you ever watched kids at Christmas when they open one thing, they're like, wow, Mom, thanks. Then they go right to the next box
right
and rip it open.
Box.
That other box that you had right before that box gets tossed over to the side, lucky to ever be seen again.
Well, whether it's a network or it's a Game Boy or a PlayStation, we are putting our faith in the wrong things here in terms of if we really want it to be a gift. The greatest gift is time. The greatest gift is compassion and tenderness and love and experiences, friendship, appreciating what's around you. I know this is all corny stuff, but the reason it's corny is because it's true. And it becomes corny because we are so far away from it that the only way to look at it is to call it corny, because otherwise we'd be constantly berating ourselves for not living up to it.
Yeah.
Corny doesn't mean false. So this year, don't think about owning a network. Don't think about all those Cyber Monday
Darn
things
it.
That you missed out on.
That's what I wanted to do, was get a network for Christmas.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Well,
you're not buying me a network, Mitch?
No, I am not. I'm going to buy you 10 of those Teddy sits down and talks to Lisa Tuesday nights, and then I'm going to get Teddy to honor them.
To agree
That's
to it?
Gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be both the gift and the challenge. All right. We hope this helps with your holiday shopping. We do this every Tuesday. You can join us at WeTuesdayPeople.com and check out the history of the show and discussion groups and all the rest of it. We're happy to have you joining us here. We look forward to speaking to you again. Until then, with Lisa Goich, I'm Mitch Albom saying see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to Tuesday People. To be part of our conversation, join the Tuesday People community at WeTuesdayPeople.com. Subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode, and share it with your friends. We look forward to having you with us every Tuesday because, after all, we're Tuesday people.